Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are extremely excited as we have the opportunity to get into God's Word and talk to you about the things that's been revealed. Again, we want to make sure all of our listeners know that this is, in fact, Let the Bible Speak. And so we will do our best to simply let the Bible speak to the questions that is on your hearts and minds today. This is a live call-in radio broadcast. You call in your questions, and we go to God's Word for the answer. The number to call in your questions here at the station is 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. And we will do our best to simply let the Scriptures speak to the questions that are on your hearts and minds today. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564.
There's a second way you can also communicate with us, which is through your cell phone. A text line is available to you if you would like to text in your questions. The text line number is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. You can text us with that number from your cell phone, and we also will get your questions and be able to deal with it on today's broadcast. We'll go straight to the Bible for the answer. Thus, the name of this program is Let the Bible Speak. Now, there's a third way that you can also communicate with us and tune in through our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. And once you go to that site, you can hit the live stream button and listen to us over the internet. And so just wanted you to know that that is available worldwide. So if you've got family or relatives that are outside the listening area, you can communicate with them right now and let them know to tune in to BibleAlone.com, hit live stream, and they can also be with us as we let the Bible speak. Matter of fact, on that same website, on that same page, you will see that there is a text button or a text block that they can type in their text question, and it will automatically be sent here to the studio. And we will be glad to answer their questions as well, no matter where they're at in the world. And so there's no reason why you and your family and friends, no matter where they're at, cannot take advantage of this broadcast, this program, as we go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. And we make no apology about we're going to go to the Bible for the answers, because God's Word supplies us thoroughly to every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and also 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, that it furnishes us completely to every good work, and that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, now's your chance. The lines are available. It's up to you to call in your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answers. We've got a couple of questions from last week, but we want you to know we're ready to receive your questions right now, and we will let the Bible speak. Again, the voice line, if you're listening, you want to just call in with a regular phone line, then you can call 308-9564. And for those of y'all that are on different area codes, all of our phone numbers are area code 843. So the voice line is 843-308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Nick, you have a question from last week?
Yes, we had a text that came in. Now, the question was, if a woman is artificially impregnated, is it sin? Well, when we look in the Scriptures, all we can say about the idea of getting pregnant is just what God told Adam and Eve, and essentially that was to be fruitful and multiply. We see even after the flood, in Genesis, the ninth chapter, we see again where God tells Noah and his family the same idea. In verse 7, he says, as for you, be fruitful and multiply, and bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it. And so that was the message that God gave to man and his wife, that within the confines of a rightly married couple were children to be produced. And so that's what we have as a matter of Scripture. I suspect that at this time there was no artificial impregnation taking place, and so thus the Bible doesn't speak on it. And so nor will we. I hope that's been helpful to some degree. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308 9564, 308-9564.
We have Terry calling in last week also with this question. And by the way, if you're, the lines are available, if you're, now's the chance to call in your question. If you have, if you're a regular listener, you know that the lines fill up and the questions pile up before the end of the program. So now would be your chance to get your question dealt with, answered today from God's Word. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Again, the text line is 725-9283. We have Terry's question from last week that wants to know, if Jesus' name is to be reverend, why do pastors call themselves reverend? Well, Terry, that is a really good question, and I wish I knew the answer to that, because, again, there's nothing in the Bible about man ever being called reverend. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, we do not see anyone referred to with a title except for Jesus Christ. And, of course, he himself says, all authority is given to me and in heaven and on earth. Now, the word reverend only appears in the Bible one time in the Old King James Version, and that is in Psalm 111 in verse 9, where it says, holy and reverend is his name, talking about God. He has sent redemption unto his people. So God's name is reverend. And so why do people call themselves God? That's a really good question. You better ask them about that, because I wouldn't ever want to refer to myself with God's name. Would you, Terry? And so we've got to be careful. Now, we do know that when there were a couple of notable individuals in the Bible who did call themselves or take glory that God deserved to themselves, that they were punished for it. One was Moses. And Moses, when he was told to take his staff and speak to the rock, and the water would come forth, he said, must we fetch water from this rock? Well, he spoke rashly, and God punished him for that. So Moses was not even allowed to go in the promised land because he spoke that way and took glory away from God. God actually said, because you failed to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, you will not be allowed to go in the promised land. And a second man by the name of Herod, who wasn't even trying to be a servant of God, when the people referred to him as the voice of God, he didn't correct them. And so therefore, an angel of the Lord came and struck him with worms, and he died because of those worms. And that's it recorded in Acts chapter 12. So, Terry, I don't know who would dare call themselves after God's name or take glory away from God because of such activity as that. But if I were you, I wouldn't hang close to them. Yeah, there's a trouble there. So hopefully that's helpful to you. Again, the number, if you have a question, call 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. The lines are available, and now's your chance to get your question in, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Now, if you have a text question, you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line number, and you can text us your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Now, it's about time for us to go to our break. We want you to know that while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. That number for the Bible Correspondence Course is 553-5157, and we are glad to be able to be of service to you and send this course to you absolutely free. And by the way, you may learn some things that you've never seen in God's Word before. They've always been there, but they could have been hidden from you, so don't miss out. Here's more information on that. And while we're at break, continue to call in your questions, 308-9564. We are back live now. We're glad to be able to be in your ear, and we hope and pray that as we teach God's Word, that it goes to your heart, because that's where the Word of God needs to reside. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so please as we study God's Word, make certain of the things that we are teaching are directly from God's Word, and then let them sink in and soak in deep, and you will be blessed ultimately. If you have a Bible question you would like to ask right now, we're waiting on the questions. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and you can let your question be addressed on today's broadcast. The text line, if you'd rather text, is 725-9283.
Now, prior to going to break, we were talking about this question that came in, whether it's okay for a person or why a person would call himself reverend. And we don't know why a person would call himself reverend, but when we look in the scriptures, we see very clearly that that title belongs to God. The Bible says holy and reverend is his name. And so we were talking about that, and I think Ricky was giving some illustrations, some examples of those in time past that had taken, in essence, glory or honor away from God, and how God responded in those cases. The Bible reveals to us that God is holy. God is He has to be set apart. He has to be sanctified by us. We have to make God special and the things of God special. And so we wouldn't run around calling someone God. We wouldn't run around calling someone Lord. We wouldn't run around calling someone Savior. And so certainly we should not call someone reverend if that is God's name. And it's interesting that word reverend has to do with awesome. Some of your translations says, you know, awesome is his name. The idea of reverend is awe. It is respect. It's what we render to God. And again, that is not something that belonged to man. And when God tells us to do a thing, when God is telling us to do a thing a certain way, he expects us to extend reverence to him, a respect to him. Otherwise, he will execute his wrath upon us. Another example we can look at is in Leviticus, the 10th chapter. In Leviticus chapter 10, you have two who were, in fact, the sons of Aaron, and their job was to offer up fire on the altar. The Bible records in this text that they offered a strange fire, and we see God's response to that. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron," Aaron is the high priest during this time period, the Bible says, "each took his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them." And that's the key phrase. This is not something that God had commanded, and yet they were supposed to be doing the work of the Lord. When a person is doing the work of the Lord, they cannot make up what they want to do. They have to do it the way God says. In verse 2, the Bible says, "So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Now, in verse 3, the Bible lets us know why this happened. The Bible says, "And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified." God says, you have to recognize me as holy. Everybody has to recognize God as holy. And so one of the ways we do that is by whatever is his, it is only his. If I set aside money for him, that's for him. If there is worship, he's the only one to receive worship. That's for him. He's the only one to receive praise. That's for him. He is the only one to be called, you know, a God and king to whom I'm going to bow myself before. You know, that's for him. He is the only one to be revered, to be reverent, to receive reverence from us. He's the only one. And I need to make sure that he's the only one that gets that kind of glory. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak.
We have a caller texting in this question. And they have two questions here. The one question is kissing before marriage a sin? And another question, is it possible for two people to continue a relationship working toward marriage if they have already gone too far and had sex? Well, that is a really good question and probably one that a lot of people may wonder about. So let me answer the first part first, the second part first, actually. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, here was a people that God accepted, and it says in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that word fornication is what you're referring to there, unlawful sexual interaction between two individuals. And so neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, nor sodomites, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, that doesn't sound good so far, does it? Well, then verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our Lord. So there he says these individuals that were practicing such as that, they were cleansed of those things. They were washed, they were sanctified, they were justified. So now they were faithful to God. And so, yes, we can be forgiven of those things, but you have to repent and you have to stop those things that you are doing. With a penitent heart, a godly sorrow, that will bring about the salvation or the forgiveness of those things so that you can be able to serve the Lord faithfully. Now, as far as kissing before marriage, the Bible doesn't say anything along that line as far as if that is wrong, but it does use a terminology that would be even clearer than something like that. And I'm turning to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll see here, again, the word fornication that is used in reference to the works of the flesh. He says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, and that's what we just talked about, that would not be proper. And then uncleanness and licentiousness or wantonness, your translation may be. Now that word is the word that is where the danger comes in. And that is any sexual arousal or activity that is causing an erotic arousal is wrong. That's the work of the flesh. And it says that at the end of this list, it says, those that practice, that is an ongoing practice of these things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if a kiss does that, then don't dare go there. Holding hands does that, don't dare go there. You have to look and know yourself in order to be able to figure out where that line needs to be drawn. And so that is something that we have to be very careful about, and let's not fool ourselves. Let's know that God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, and thus we have to answer to Him. Thank you so much. That is a great question, and I'm not certain it's ever been given to us this way before, and so we thank you very much, and it seems as if you've got a good heart wanting to show yourself approved unto God, and that is awesome. Thank you. The last three digits of this phone number are 856, and so thank you again for your questions. We sure do appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564.
308-9564. Again, we have a website that you can take advantage of to get more information on various subjects. www.biblealone.com. That is available to you. www.biblealone.com. If you wish to send us text questions, you can. You can actually send us text messages from our website. Or, if you so choose, you can text us using our text line at 725-9283, 725-9283. I want to take just a moment and talk a little bit about a Bible study that we offer inside your home. This is a study that you can sign up for. We send you the study in the mail. It's something that you do at your leisure. It's free of charge. If you're interested in an in-home Bible study that you can do at your own pace, that you can receive via the mail, then go ahead and call 553-5157. Again, that number is 553-5157. Now, if you so choose that you would like an in-home Bible study with a sort of a face-to-face Bible study with us, then if you live in an area that we can get to and it fits in with our existing schedule, we will try to get you set up with someone to come and meet with you. If you are a female, we usually try to bring our wives with us, and so that we can sit down and get into God's Word together. And so that's something that you're interested in. Again, you can call that number, 553-5157. You leave a message that you're interested in an in-home Bible study, and we'll try to get something set up. So join us right now here at the station. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-9564.
Don't miss out on getting your question in today. The voice line has been quiet today, so now's your chance to get in and get your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Here's a question that just came in through the text line. Is pastor's anniversary or first lady anniversaries in the Bible? No. Just not there. As far as I don't know how to answer that any clearer. There's nothing in the Bible whatsoever about anniversaries. As far as lifting people up more than anyone else, that concept in itself is just foreign to the scriptures. Matter of fact, Jesus said, all authority, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. The only one that should be getting a rank over someone else is Jesus Christ and him crucified.
You know, Ricky, I was sitting here thinking as you were talking, I'm not sure that the Bible even talks about a first lady. I'm fairly certain it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to think about that for a moment. If there's a first lady, then that would make all the other ladies what? Yeah, second. Yeah, and God just doesn't do that. He just doesn't do that. He doesn't make one person. He doesn't elevate one person above another. You know, if elevation is going to happen, it's going to be by him. He's going to do all the exalting. But concerning God's people, as they make up the body of Christ, as they make up the church, they were all supposed to be on the same level. They were all supposed to be serving one another. He that would be greatest among you, let him serve, the Bible says. And so that really is the mentality or the picture that's painted in the scripture. But as Ricky noted, it is not. It is not this idea of I'm higher than you. You are lower than me. I'm to be elevated. We don't see that in the scriptures.
No entitlements whatsoever. And so we've got to be careful as we lift people up. We're supposed to lift everybody up the same. And so it's just not a matter of making rank or anyone over somebody else. And so hopefully that helps a lot, Sharon. We sure appreciate your text question. We're about to take our next break. We want you to know that the Bible Correspondence course that we're about to tell you about is absolutely free. So first of all, put away your checkbook, put away your wallet. Do not send us your tithes and your offerings, but rather let us send you the treasure that will never be taken away from you. It will be a treasure that will help you through eternity. We live in this life a few short decades, and then we're gone. Well, why would we dare put eternity in jeopardy simply because we're comfortable the way we are? We need to see what God wants us to be. And I'll just let you know right up front, that's going to make you uncomfortable because none of us like change all that much. But God would have us to continually change as he molds us and makes us after his will. And so why not find out what his will is for us right now? Why not go ahead and enroll in the Bible Correspondence course and study it through. Tear it apart. Go through, find out exactly what God says, and see the answers. Now, I will go ahead and let you know a frequent statement we hear people say about the Correspondence course is that they've learned things that they've never seen before. Now, we're talking about religious leaders. Many preachers have taken the course, and they themselves have been challenged by this Bible Correspondence course. They've seen some things that are new to them, and they, quote-unquote, been through seminary school. So isn't it important to find out those answers before we meet our Creator face-to-face? So now's your chance. Go ahead and call go ahead and call this number for the Correspondence course, 553-5157. Here's the details on it. If you're already a student, go ahead and call in your question. The voice line is available, 308-9564, or you can text us anytime, 725-9283. We'll be right back.
553-5157 is the number to be able to sign up for the free Bible Correspondence course in your home. You know, we talk to many of our listeners that have gone through the course, and they just find it to be very helpful. We've known a lot of folks over the years that continue to listen to the radio program, and one of the things they note about the Bible Correspondence course is that, it, you know, in many cases it serves as sort of a door. kind of the beginning of getting into and seeing things that you hadn't seen before. And so for those of you who are interested in the things of God, we encourage you to take advantage of this free course. Again, the number to sign up for that is 553-5157. Now, if you have a question and you want your questions to be answered here at the station, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will do our best to just let the Bible speak. If you prefer, you can text your question to us. That text number again is 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
And we are honored to be able to be in your presence today, to where that you obviously have a desire to know what God says in His Word, and that's exactly what our intent is. And by the way, some of you that are former Bible students, that maybe you've gone through the course, it would be a blessing to us to hear what you were, what you received. What impact did it have on you, the knowledge that you gained through the study of the Bible Correspondence Course? And so if some of you would like to call and let us know that, we would just be glad to share that with the radio audience. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. That's 308-9564 or 308-WJNI. And we will be glad to get your call, either about being what you received out of the correspondence course, or if you have a question that you would like to share with us, we will go to the Bible about your question. Also, a means that you can communicate with us would be the text line, which is 725-9283. I think we're caught up on all our questions, so we're just waiting on your next question to come in, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. We're thrilled to be able to give you what the Bible says, because Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, this is God Himself, through Paul, that says, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That's why that we go to the Bible for the answers, because that's where we will be able to see what God wants, not what man wants, not what man has come up with. And so we're going to let the Bible speak to all the answers that pertain to life and godliness.
And the overall goal was, as you learn better, then the natural expectation is to do better. And ladies and gentlemen, we know that it takes courage sometimes to make the kind of changes that you're reading of in the scriptures. But this is what God would demand of us. And in James 1, verse 22, the Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so for those of you who are listening week after week, well, we hope that you're, one, you're searching the scriptures out to make sure the things that we say are in fact so, and then having find that these things are true, that you have the courage to make the necessary changes so that you can be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That's what God would hope. That's what God's desire is from all of us, is that as we learn better, we have to be willing to do better. And again, it takes courage to do those kinds of things, to stand firm, stand fast in the truth as we're learning it. And the world and Satan, he would love to keep us in error. The world would love to keep us in error because nobody wants to be a person that sticks out. And so there are those who would encourage you to ignore what you're reading in the Bible. But God says you can't do that. You know, be doers of the word, not hearers only. You know, faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, verse 17, and hearing by the word of God. You know, so I have to be one that get out and I have to do it. And so we listen to understand, and as we understand, we prepare ourselves to go out and to do the things of God. That's our encouragement to you this day. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. Feel free to text us your question at 725-9283.
It's puzzling to us because there's so few calls coming in on our voice line. They keep on changing out the phones to see if there is a problem. But as far as we know, there's no problem. So go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have one call. Louise calls in, got in, and her question is, does the Bible speak about women preachers? Well, Louise, it depends on how you are describing what preacher you're referring to. Now, the Bible's definition of preacher is one that conveys the message of God to those that are lost. And so that's my understanding. The most consistency is associated with that. And so as far as Titus chapter 2, it brings out that older women, that they are to be reverent behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, but teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So there it tells them that they are supposed to be teachers, teachers of good things, teachers of children, of how to love their husbands and such. So yes, they are to be teachers. And would some of those individuals be lost? Well, possibly. But again, there are other verses that would limit such a teaching process to certain individuals. Now, we can go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and there we see, beginning with verse 10, it says, verse 11, it says, let the women learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And then it goes on to give reason for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 also gives another stipulation about their being vocal as far as teaching or instructing others or any other kind. It says, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, there's several things that are limitations in the worship or the assembly of the church together for worship. The reason we know that that's this context is because of verse 23, if the whole church has come together in one place, verse 19 in the church, and a few other places. We see in this chapter that it's them together, coming together. And so one of the things it tells us that men, if they're supposed to speak one at a time. So there, that means everybody else is supposed to keep silent. Verse 28, if there's no interpreter, let them keep silent, the one speaking in tongues. So, again, there's limitations on a number of individuals in this context or in the assembly. They were supposed to keep silent. Well, in verse 34, he says it again, but this time he says, let your women keep silent in the churches or in that assembly of the church for worship. For they're not permitted to speak, but they're to be submissive, as also says the law. If they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it's shameful for a woman to speak in church. So there's three passages, Louise, that will help you. This one is in the context of the assembly where they've come together for worship, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, 35. And going down to verse 37, that lets you know that this was not just a Corinth thing. This was a commandment of the Lord. Then there was 1 Timothy 2, verse 10, 11. And then also Titus, where they are commanded that they are supposed to teach younger women. They're supposed to teach children. And so that process is to continue. And so that would be the verses that will help you there, Louise. Thank you so much. Again, we appreciate your question and your call very much. Again, the voice line, if you have a question you want to call in, you can call in, have your question written down and brought in like Louise's. Or you can go live over the air if you would like. The only thing we ask if you want to go live over the air is we want to know your name, and we need to be ready. You need to be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be an annoying or a confusing echo because of the time delay. But we would be glad to have you even live on the radio airways right now. Again, the number is 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak. Nick?
You know, just going back to the point that Ricky was making earlier, as we think about even in the first century when the church was established, there were a lot of women that labored in the vineyard, if you will, in, as far as going out and sharing the word. You know, Paul talks about Phoebe In Romans 16th chapter, he says in Romans 16 verse 1, I commend to you Phoebe, or Phoebe, if that's how it's pronounced, our sister who is a servant of the church in Centura, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper, he says, of many and of myself also. And then he talks about this time a couple. So this is a husband and wife. And he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla is a woman. Aquila is her husband. And he calls them, he says, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And so they both collectively were laboring together in the vineyard and doing the work together. And thus, you have both a husband and wife, or male and female, laboring in the vineyard. And he goes so far as to say about both of them, in verse 4, he says, they risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentile. And so they worked with various congregations together. They labored in the vineyard together. You look at Acts, the 18th chapter, you see this man by the name of Apollos, who was eloquent, the Bible says, in verse 24, in his teaching. And yet he did not teach correctly, or he didn't teach all that he needed to be teaching. And so in verse 26, the Bible says, so when he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, when Aquila and Priscilla, this is a husband and wife couple, they heard him, the Bible says they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And so again, they shared in the work. And so there's a lot that we all can do collectively in sharing the message of God. It's just, and we have to know what's the right time and what's the right place. I hope that's been helpful. It's time for us to take a break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions. The lines are open, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. 308-9564 is the number here at the station, so go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564. We've been having some challenges with the phones, and I think we've been working through it. But again, we encourage you to keep calling. If for some reason you can't get through by the way of the phone, you can always text in your question. That's been working consistently today, so just feel free to use that. Our text number is 725-9283. Again, that's 725-9283. We still want to encourage you to use our voice line, because it is working. It's just, we think that there are some minor issues along the way, so feel free to try to call it first. And again, the voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564. And as always, we will try to do our best to simply let God's word speak in its pureness, to just let God says what he has to say on the subject. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We are glad to be able to say that our phone is now working, and so now you can call in your question via the voice line, 308-9564. It seemed as if the first couple of calls that came through, three or four that came through, that you could not hear us, and we apologize for that. And so now the phone is working. 308-9564 is the voice line, so go ahead and call right now your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Again, 308-9564. The text line, which is also available, which is 725-9283. So go ahead and call in your questions right now, or text in your question, either one, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a question that came in from Kevin. Kevin says, why do Christians look down on people who don't go to church? Well, Kevin, that's a very interesting question, and I say that from this perspective. When I think of Christians, I have to think of it from the perspective of the Bible. And so the word Christian shows me the idea of Christ-like. The disciples were called Christians, the Bible says, first at Antioch. And so it really, a Christian really is a disciple. The word disciple is just a follower of Christ. And so if a person is a follower of Christ, then they ought not ever look down on anybody. So that's not the authority that Christ has given his people, or his students. A disciple is a student. And so they should look like their teacher. And so we just can't find a passage that will allow the disciple to look down on anyone. And so that would be one idea, just simply the fact that as a Christian, as a true Christian that we can read of in the Bible, one who is a disciple of Christ, a student, follower of Christ, then they're not going to be looking down on anyone, not and be in harmony with what the Scripture teaches. So from one passage that may be helpful, it's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on in that text to show how that he was willing to humble himself. And so in the moment you begin to look down on people, you are not humbling yourself. Now, the other part of this is the idea of going to church. And so the Christians, those who are disciples of Christ, now they are to assemble with the church. And so the church, that word just is called out, the ecclesia, it refers to the people. And that group of people should be coming together to assemble. And if they're not assembling, like the Bible says, well, then there's a problem. They should be, there's a problem with that disciple, that Christian who does not want to assemble with the other Christians. So, for example, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 22, the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. Verse 24, let us consider one another. So you got this, let us, and it's the idea, this is what we're supposed to be doing as Christian. Let us consider, he says, one another in order to stir up love and good works. In verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And so Christians were supposed to be assembling themselves together and not forsaking the assembly. And so to forsake the assembly would actually be doing something other than what we read here. It would be going against what we read here. Yes, contrary to popular belief, we would be doing something wrong. And sometimes we just don't like to say that. But that does not give the Christian or the disciple the cause to look down on anyone. I hope that's been helpful to some degree. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564.
Again, the lines are available, and the voice line is working fine. 308-9564. Go ahead and call in your question right now. It is working, and you can call in your question through the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can always text us at 725-9283. We have a text call with the last three digits, 919. They want to know, what is the significance of Numbers 22, 1 through 12, in relation to the patriarchal dispensation? Well, that phrase may be a foreign statement or foreign reference to many people today. The Bible speaks of three different ages of man, or three different ways that God has spoken to man. In Genesis, dominantly, he spoke are almost exclusively through the heads of households, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, and those were heads of household, Adam, Seth, and so on. And so the oldest living member of the household, they were the ones responsible for their communicating God's law or will to the family or those underneath them in their clan. And so that was what's called the patriarchal dispensation, or fathers. Patriarch means father. And that was a way that God communicated through those individuals. Well, then one of those families of in the Abraham family named Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. He draw them out and actually took them out of Egypt and took them to Mount Sinai and put them under another kind of law or way God communicates to them through Moses' law. And so there on Mount Sinai, God gave not just 10, but over 600 laws and regulations and precepts to the children of Israel to follow. And that was just for that one family, the family of Jacob or Israel and all their families. And at that time, those families had grown from less than 100 when they went down to Egypt to some guesstimate over 3 million by the time they came out of Egypt, which was over 400 years later. And so that family came out to Mount Sinai. God put them under that law. Now, the rest of the human race was still under that patriarchal law or the patriarchal avenue where God was communicating through the heads of households. They had their prophets or those fathers. Well, here in Numbers 22, we have one of those prophets by the name of Balaam. And he was not a Jew. He was called upon by a king to try and curse these Jews that came out of Egypt and had numbered and were covering the land and conquering the armies. And so Balaam, having a bad heart, knew that he would not be able to only but speak what God says. And so him being a, what at this time you could call them a Gentile, they although I don't think they were referred to that way at this time, but he was not a Jew. He was a prophet of God, and he was speaking to God, and God speaking to him. And God said, "Nope, you've got to say what I got to say." Even though he tried to change God's mind, it didn't work. And he ended up blessing the children of Israel rather than cursing them. So that's how this fits into this patriarchal dispensation, that Balaam would have been under that as a non-Jew, where the Israelites would have been under the law of Moses as what were referred to as Jews. And so hopefully that is not being confusing. Now, before I leave this subject, let me let you know also that there was a third way to come, and that way was through Christ. And now all of us, whether Jew or Gentile, must listen to Christ. And he will be the one that we must listen to for all things that pertain to life and godliness. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 for that singling out. Again, we thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate that very much. Again, the number is 308-9564 is the voice line. If you'd rather text, as these questions that have come in, you can text through 725-9283.
We have a text question coming in. It says, when people say they died and came back to life and said that they had a death experience and seen heaven, should we believe it? Well, that's a very, very interesting question. And so I would say initially,
there's a movie out right now about that. And so it's probably what's generating that. It's out in the theaters.
Okay. And so that may be the case that these types of subjects are very popular. When we start talking about dying, I had an experience and I came back. I want to suggest a couple of things from the scripture's perspective. One, when we read Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews 9th chapter and verse 27, God says that there is an appointment that man has. And the way he describes the appointment is to die. And he's so specific, he says to die once. So here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. Well, see, I believe that. And so the word death carries with it a separation. And so there's a sense in which the spirit separates or leaves the body. When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says his body gave up the ghost. And it was only at that point that he was dead, if you will, physically dead, when his spirit left his body. And again, you can compare that to what we read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, this idea of it being appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. What we don't have is this thing where you die, you come back, or you die, you went to heaven and come back. You just don't have that in the Bible. And so someone says, is it possible for a person to be clinically dead? And so from where we're sitting, we're calling them clinically dead, but are they really meeting the qualities of what God refers to as dead in the sense that their spirit has left the body? And so I think that's where the real question lies. I'll leave you with another passage that may be helpful in answering that question. Is in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, there was a situation where Paul was long with preaching, and a gentleman was sitting in a window in verse 9. The Bible says, in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. So here's a man that fell, and he was taken up dead. Notice what Paul says in verse 10. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. And so I just want you to think about that thought for a moment. I think there's a sense in which we might consider someone clinically dead, but it may not be the dead that the Bible talks about. And so that may be helpful to us in understanding what actually happens to a lot of people when their hearts may stop, and then they're brought back. It's time for us to take another break. And even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. 308-9564. 308-9564 is the question. It's the number to call in your questions. Feel free to send us your text questions as well. Our text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are back live now, and we want you to know that we're glad to have you in our ears, or in your ears, I guess it is, and we are glad to be able to be here anyway. And we want you to know that the Bible, God's Word, is what we are seeking out, and this program is called Let the Bible Speak. We want you to be aware of the Bible Correspondence Course that we keep mentioning is absolutely free. We want you to know that we will never ask for a donation, or actually we don't even accept donations of any kind, because we want to give you treasure. We want you to have the treasure that will never be taken away from you. It is free. This correspondence course, we'll send it in the mail, and thus you can study it at any time you want to. It'll be in the mail this week. And then you get that, you read through it, you study it, you look up all the verses now, look them all up, read what God says in His Word, and then you answer those questions, which are few. It's just mainly to bring out the meat of the lessons itself. You send those lessons back. We will grade them, send them back to you along with the next lessons, and then it'll be back and forth. And then at the end of the course, we'll send you a nice certificate to show our appreciation to you. And so it is absolutely free. It is something that will help you eternally, because God's Word is a treasure more precious than silver and gold. And so that's why we want you to be aware of what God says in His Word, because that's what we will be asked about when we stand before God in judgment one day. Isn't it more important to get these answers now, before we actually stand before our judge? After all, won't he say, why did you call me Lord and did not do the things that I say? Actually, he tells us that in the New Testament. So that's so important. If we're going to call him Lord, we better be doing what he says. And how can we be doing what he says if we do not know what he says, what he expects of us to do? So go ahead and call 553-5157. If you want that Bible correspondence course, call 553-5157. It doesn't matter how many calls. We'll be glad to send these to you absolutely free. You'll have them in the mail this week. One more time, that number, if you're out of this area, it's area code 843-553-5157. You can study it anytime you want. You get it in the middle of the night, in the morning, anytime you want. And you can take your time and go through it as many times as you want to. Send it back to us. We'll grade it and send it back to you. So go ahead and enroll today, 553-5157. By the way, you may discover things you've never seen in God's Word before. So don't miss out on this, 553-5157. Now, the voice line is available. Go ahead and call right now. You can get through 308-9564.
Joe calls in today. Joe says, will female pastors get to heaven since they aren't supposed to preach? Well, Joe, there one thing that we try to do on this broadcast is we never try to take the role of God as far as judgment. Judgment belongs to Him. God will execute judgment on all people. And so concerning who's going to be in heaven, who's going to be in hell? Well, I can't tell you that. The one thing we know for sure is that there'll be no one in heaven who's not supposed to be there, and there'll be no one in hell who ain't supposed to be there. Now, those are the things we know for sure. Concerning this idea of women, you know, not supposed to be pastors, well, not just women are not supposed to be pastors. Incidentally, you know, there are men who are serving in this role that's not supposed to be in this role either. You see, anyone that doesn't meet the criteria that God has out, you know, laid out, will be in error, because that's what we're talking about. Here's someone doing something that they're not supposed to do, and God has specified, God has been clear on who's supposed to do it and what qualities they're supposed to have. Those qualities found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it says in verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, but not covetous, one who rules his own house well. You know, so this applies to anyone that would try to assume this role. They have to meet these qualities. And so if a woman tries to do that, well, she's not the husband of one wife. She cannot meet these qualities. But if a man tries to do it and he's not married, well, then he's not the husband of one wife. Then he can't meet these qualities. If he got some bad children that's tearing up things, well, the Bible says one who rules his house well. Well, he doesn't meet these qualities. And so, you know, anyone that would be in this role have to meet these qualities. Otherwise, they are in error. And thus to be in error with God, well, that's just not a good place to be. Especially if you're knowingly in error. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll leave you with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The idea is we must all do what God says because we have to stand in judgment. And I don't know if it's wise for a person to knowingly be in error, to knowingly be sinning, to knowingly be going against what God says, and to want to appear before his judgment seat so that he can exercise his judgment upon them. 308-9564 is the number to call, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We sure are thankful for your listening today, and we hope and pray that your questions will be able to be answered on today's broadcast. And those of you that find it difficult to get in from time to time, now is your opportunity. We would be glad to receive your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. The voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564. There is a question that just came in through the text line, and their question is, why did Jesus give parables? Well, that was a question that was actually asked to him, and he refers to that it is from, he quotes, actually, to answer that question, he does what we do on this broadcast. He quotes from Isaiah. And his answer included the quote from Isaiah about people's hearts and why that people will listen and they will not hear or perceive. And thus their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their ears or see with their eyes and hear with their ears, but their hearts be far from him. That same question was asked to him in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, they came to him, and they asked him that question in verse 10. Why do you speak to them in parables? Well, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, that is those that are not listening, it has not been given. For whoever has, to him it will be given. And he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to you in parables because, and here's his answer, seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor understand. And now he goes to Isaiah for the answer. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and did not see it, and hear what you hear, and did not hear it. So that's why Jesus himself answers the question of why he spoke in parables. You might wonder, well, what does that mean today? What does that mean to us? Well, Nick, what do you think about it? What does that mean to us today? How come that he uses this elaborate answer to answer that question that is even asked today?
Well, in that time, there were many people, the multitude in that parable, the multitude had been gathered. And although the multitude were together, the message wasn't for everyone that was there. It was really for his disciples. It was for the person that wanted to hear. And I think even in that text, he says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, not everyone has an ear to hear. And what that means simply is that not everybody wants to hear the message of God. And so even today, you have these parables of God and you have this message of God. Many folks will not understand, but they don't understand because they don't want to understand. It starts there. I have to have a will to do his will. I have to have an ear to hear. And if I don't want to, well, then, of course, this is just going to be another book. And I'm going to have great difficulty understanding what it says. Perhaps that's the idea.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. So we have to always be examining our own hearts to decide, am I listening to what God says? Do I have a heart that is open to his commandments, his word, his message? Am I hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Or is there a hardness to my heart? Do I have selective hearing? Oh, I like this, but I don't like that. And so we have to decide what kind of heart that we have. So let's make certain that we do not fall under the same category that Jesus is pointing out the them there in that passage. And that is, they are hard of hearing. And so let's make certain that we can have eyes to see and ears to hear. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, don't miss out. You can go ahead and enroll in the Bible Correspondence course if you'd like, 553-5157. You can call in your question. We have one line available, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
This is our last segment, and so be sure to get your question in. We want to make mention again of the Bible Correspondence course that's available to you. So go ahead and take advantage of that. Again, that number is 553-5157. This is a free Bible study that we would send to you in the mail. You can do in your home at your own pace. Again, it's designed to encourage you to increase your study, increase your knowledge, come to a better understanding of God. In no way does it replace the Bible. We're not trying to do that at all, but rather it is a tool to aid you in your study of the things of God. If this is something that you're interested in, again, there's no strings attached. It's free of charge. 553-5157. Since this is our last segment, we want to encourage you to go ahead and get your question in as soon as possible here at the station. So go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number here at the station, 308-9564.
We have a caller calling in this question. They want to know, explain Colossians 3 and verse 17. This is a very interesting verse of Scripture, and probably, at least in this area, this passage is abused more so than any other place that I've lived in the United States. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Before I go into some of the error that is taught about this, let's just get the truth out there first. In the name of the Lord is a phrase that would be by his authority, by what he says, because Jesus has all authority. Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So if you were to represent someone and you were going to do something by their permission, by their authority, you could say, I'm doing this in the name of, and whoever that would be. And so that's what this verse is saying. Whatever you do in word what we say, or indeed what we do. Do all in the name of the Lord, that is, by his authority, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So in other words, when something good is done that we do in obeying God, well, to God be the glory, because we are simple representatives of him. We are his ministers, his servants doing his will. And so when something good or honorable occurs, and some bright shine occurs because he is shining through us, please remember that shine does not come from us. It's coming from him, and to him be the glory. And so we need to make certain that we do not desecrate him or not sanctify him as Moses did so long ago. We need to make certain that we are honoring him and thus thanksgiving to God the Father through him. Now, some of the things that are done, we can spend a whole few hours dealing with some of the abuses of this verse. But just so you know, this verse does not mean I'm going to do this and just give claim to the name of the Lord. I'm going to do this in Jesus' name. I'm going to throw this rock through somebody's window in Jesus' name, and that will be okay. Well, that's stupid. No, that wouldn't work. But that's how this verse is often used, and they'll make up something. And I came up with a stupid illustration there. I know that. But there are things that people do and claim they're doing it in Jesus' name when Jesus never told us to do that. One more point while I'm on this. Let me just point this out. Husbands, if your wife bought you for your birthday a brand new set of earrings, would you be happy about that? No, obviously not. And so that's not what will make you happy. That's not what would be pleasing to you. Well, there's a lot of people today that they think that they can do whatever they want and do it in Jesus' name and still please God. Where in the world do people come up with that? It doesn't work in the physical world. You wouldn't appreciate those earrings, especially if they were diamond dangling earrings. No, certainly not. I hope not, anyway. But needless to say, that wouldn't please you. Well, why do we think that we can come up with something that we dream up and just, quote unquote, do it in Jesus' name and think we are pleasing him? No, Jesus put it this way. Why call me Lord and do not do the things that I say? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we can show our love and appreciation to him. Do what he says. And that's what this verse is saying, my friend. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, by his authority, and to him be the glory, now and forever. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Thank you so much for your question. We really do appreciate that. We better pay attention of what God expects us to do to honor him. Again, the number is 308-9564. Hurry, and you can get your question in, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564. Nick?
Yes, we have a person calling in today about Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, where you have Satan tempting Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, it says in verse 1, that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then in verse 3, and this is what the question is about, verse 3 says, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. The question from our caller says, was Satan pretending to not know who Jesus was? And I take that to mean because he asked Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Well, that's an interesting question. Well, I think this is more, again, the idea of tempting a person. Here you have Satan almost trying to appeal to pride. If you really are the Son of God, then do this. If you are the Son of God, then do this. But it's not a result of the fact that the devil or Satan did not know who Jesus was. The Bible shows us that even the demons knew who Jesus was. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, when they saw him, they actually had a fear, a great fear of him. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says when he, talking about Jesus, had come to the other side of the country, he says there he met two demons, possessed men. And in verse 29, and suddenly they cried out saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Verse 31, so the demons begged him, saying, so the demons knew who Jesus were. Well, was. They were definitely afraid of Jesus. They called him Jesus, and they also called him the Son of God. And so they completely understood who Jesus was. And certainly if the demons did, then Satan also would know who Jesus was. And so going back to Matthew chapter 4, what Satan is doing there is not a result of the fact that he questions who Jesus is, or he's pretending that he doesn't know who he is, but rather he was appealing to the flesh of Jesus, the pride aspect of the flesh. If you are the Son of God, then do this, then do this, then do that. Very good question, we sure appreciate you calling in. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. There's about 4 minutes left in the broadcast, so we would have to move very quickly to get your question in on today's broadcast.
We want to, again, to let you know about the Bible Correspondence course that we're offering. It is free. We will never ask for a contribution at all. We are just wanting to share with you the wealth that will be eternal if we will hide the Word of God in our heart and learn what God expects of us. You may discover vital truth that you may have never seen before, which may prevent us from a heavenly home one day. We better find out what God expects of us before He will allow us to come home to Him. Because if we're not one of His, then He will not accept us. He'll say, why call me Lord and do not do the things that I say? Matthew 7:22. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, cast out demons in thy name, and thy name done many wonders? And then He says, well, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so isn't it important for us to know what the law says, know what His word says? And thus, we only can do that through a study of His Word. Most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth because they are restricted by their denominational parameters. So it's very important for us to be able to find the truth in God's Word so that we can be pleasing to Him. Studying for yourself will build this kind of truth, this faith that comes from His Word. So go ahead and call 553-5157 and enroll in the course, and it will be in tomorrow's mail, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free. Again, 553-5157. We are so thrilled to be able to answer your questions today. I think we've got some coming in right quick. We've only got a few seconds to answer them, but we will see what we can do about that. In the meantime, we want you to know that we are honored that you desire the happiness and joy that only comes from a study of God's Word. And it won't come from seeking after physical things. This satisfaction won't come from money. It will not come from position or any rank of any kind. It will only come, this true peace will only come from yielding to the Creator's touch. Obediently loving Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength by doing what He says. Learning to be content with such things as we have is part of that. But as far as the answers that pertain to life and godliness, they won't come from church doctrines. They will not come from experiences or pastors or even family. In order for it to score points with God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What we must do, we've got to turn to God's Word. What we must do is we've got to let the Bible speak.